Welcome to Caribbean Millennials.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to episode 21 of the Caribbean Millennials podcast. Sorry about that. I'm just going to do a strange thing with her hand, kind of, you know.
Throwing up gang signs.
Yeah, she's throwing up gang signs and whatnot. So, yeah, episode 21, guys, you know. We'll be back again another week. How's everyone's week
it's
been?
It's a new month. It's November.
Yeah, it's a new month. We're in November, guys.
Y'all recovering from all of the je ne quoi all, you know, food comas, you know, thinking about Christmas.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, fruits, Christmas, yeah. But if by now your fruit's not soaking, I want your fruit cake, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, you better get your fruit soaking and get ready Christmas
that
season.
Cake I want.
Aye,
aye, Christmas
I
come.
Ragamuffin,
let's get those lights on.
Right, aye. Yeah. Christmas
the
season.
Thing about my family is they never took down the Christmas tree.
What?
Since Christmas all year round.
So, literally, it's already Christmas.
Like, wow. A fake tree you'll have inside still?
A what?
A fake tree you all have inside all year round?
No, it's a real tree. It's just not really alive.
Oh tree, my god!
It's a real tree. It's not alive, alive. So, but it's alive.
But y'all are still decorated? Like, how does that work?
I mean, we never took off the decorations. So,
you know. Wow.
You're wrong. You're wait, wrong so, for I mean, that.
The tree has become a part of the family.
So, okay.
It's part of the decor.
I'm just
right?
going to leave that alone. Yeah. I'm not going to.
But yeah, guys, you know, Christmas coming up also means the year is almost at an end, guys.
Yep. We have
2018 almost done.
Less than 2 months
it
left.
It means start planning your New Year's resolutions.
Start planning to make those promises that you're probably not gonna keep.
I don't know about JK, you all. JK. I just keep my promises and I just set my resolutions and my goals and my themes.
Well, you see, I'm smart. I don't set those big resolutions. Those people are like, oh my god, I go to do something like. I set like small goals.
Anyway,
I set myself up for success.
Okay. I like it. I like the way you think.
You know?
But in either case, the year is quickly coming to an end, but holiday season is upon us.
Yeah, it's upon us, yeah.
What was going on in your guys' week, or how was your week?
Well, y'all know my week was, you know.
It was
busy,
quite eventful for
eventful
you.
Eventful for me. Submitted my last and final assignment of my grad school life. Right.
I'll drink water to that.
All I have
wait,
left.
Wait, what? Why water?
He's been healthy.
Wait, you stopped drinking
he's
alcohol?
He's working on his health.
I would never have drank alcohol.
Wait, no. Like, for sure you're not drinking.
What you talking
wait,
about?
Wait, you cut off, right?
Try catching the slackness there. You know?
Yeah. Come on.
Go until when? For the next month? Until you go back home? Because how?
No, I don't do alcohol at all.
You know,
come on.
His body is a temple.
Exactly.
Okay?
Are you looking for a lightning bolt to come and hit you? Like,
I'm covered.
You know, the blood of Jesus Christ.
Okay. You know? There's wine in the blood, eh? Okay.
Non-alcoholic wine.
Right? Yeah. But nonetheless, submitted.
Exactly.
Nonetheless, submitted that final assignment. All I have left is a presentation, and I would have officially mastered science.
Hey. We're proud of you, Vinay. You know?
That's the spirit. Can join the club.
Well, I don't even care about the presentation. Technically, I have mastered science already. So, yeah. Right? Adan, anything exciting going on in your week?
The weather is deteriorating here.
Faster. Really?
Yep.
Damn.
This whole week was just various shades of gray and lots of rain. So,
wow.
Yeah, well, nothing really made me mad this week. but a trucker almost killed me on the highway.
Whoa.
The hell?
So that got me a little annoyed.
Crazy eventful. Wait, hold on. That didn't make you mad? It got you annoyed, though.
What were you doing in the street, though?
Okay.
No, I was driving.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
She made it seem like you were just in the street.
Yeah,
just
playing. Well, I don't know. That's,
yeah.
That's,
yeah.
That's
yeah.
What it felt like. That's what it felt like, oh my God, I was standing up there and then whoosh.
Yeah, the best place to play cricket is in the street.
Facts.
Yeah, like, you know when they merging lane from like entry point onto the highway?
Yeah.
So it's two, but it becomes three at that point. So I'm alongside him in the outermost lane. He's in the second lane, closest to where the entry point is. And the entry point continues to make a third lane for another, like, three exits. He proceeds to try and come into my lane to give the person that's merging space. But the person that's merging has their own lane.
Yeah, they can literally
so
just
really
stay in that lane.
He really did not need to try and give the person space by coming into my lane.
Wow.
So, yeah.
In a case, we're glad that you're still
yeah,
there
you're
with
still
us.
Alive,
you know?
Yep. Thankfully, the car had a lot of power and good brakes.
So. Nice to see another day, you know,
yep.
Record another episode.
This week, I've been trying to work on my health and fitness, you know, not let myself go, you know.
You know, it's very easy for that to happen at Christmas time.
Which is why I'm trying to fight it, you know, fight it now.
Preemptive fighting.
Also just for my general health and well-being, even my mental health, because I feel like running and yoga have always been, like, good things for me in general, and I kind of have slacked off on both of those things. So I... did my first 5K in a while last weekend or this, you know, end of this week.
Yay.
Or last week. Time wasn't the best, but, you know, I finished.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
That's the spirit.
So I'm signing up for another one this month. So I'll keep running. And then I ended Friday by going to a yoga class with one of my favorite teachers, and he was like, oh, you're back, come see me on Sunday. He's like, stop leaving. So he kind of called me out, but, you know,
stop flaking.
Yeah, he's like, okay, see you Sunday. He's like, also 5:30 Monday morning. I'm like, sure.
It's wild.
Hopefully this week we have the for those of us in the States, Canada, UK. Does the UK do it? The time change? We have time changes.
That's tomorrow. Yeah, it's this week. Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, remember to set your clocks back. That's a very annoying thing.
Well, by the time y'all get this podcast, we would have already...
It would have happened.
But, you know, it's always an adjustment, right? With the...
That's another thing that makes me mad, having to change all the appliances, because now they all have like a digital screen with the time on it, so now you have to change all of them back.
The funny thing I realize is the last time we did this was March, right? So we changed the oven, but we never changed the microwave, so the microwave has been
on already on time.
No, we did change the microwave. What happened was it took power one day, and then it came back on, and it just had a time, and no one ever bothered changing said time. So,
yeah, that's another thing. When they take power, it resets. So I just feel like, why even set the clock?
Yeah, it's a strange thing, but, you know.
And daylight savings. Why
America.
Does it exist? Like, don't get me started on daylight savings. Why? It's a scam.
Right?
Something invented by the man.
It really was, right? So you can spend more money. You have more time to spend money and all that bullshit.
Wasn't it also an agricultural thing?
Yeah, it's an agricultural thing as well. But, you know, I digress. This is an American thing.
So anything notable in the news this week, guys? Oh, okay. Well, one thing I remember, the Mighty Shadow, Trinidadian yeah. Calypsonian, passed away October 23rd.
Yeah.
Did they already have the funeral, Adani?
Yes.
Yeah, they already had the funeral, but
yeah, some videos of it look like a grand send off.
It had to be, right? Because it's another icon, another legend, yeah. Gone. It also like makes you think of, you know, like these are the songs that your parents, you know, like
grew up.
Yeah, but it's like blasting in, you know, your in your house every Christmas,
I dare one Caribbean when it is like a listener of the podcast to say that their parents never blast any Shadow in their house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you had to have heard that music at some point in your life.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So another icon gone kind of makes you think about, you know, the next generation.
We have a next generation of Calypsonians?
Well, I think
everybody's a soca artist now.
But I think it's also like the messaging kind of within that, and you know, like what we going to think, you know, the icons when, you know, we get older and that. I mean, you know, we already have some, right? But still.
Yeah, yeah.
or even like the generation after that. But it kind of, you know, touches your heart for Calypso, right? A little
yeah.
I don't know. But that music just has a certain vibe, right? Between Dingole, you're looking for horn, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
so much vibes.
Vibes, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
the other thing, Trinidad, what were y'all saying about the earthquakes? There were how many? Yeah, how many like days?
Ten
earthquakes in 10 days, or
10 earthquakes in the last like 2 weeks?
Yeah,
the
last 10 days.
The last that I saw was 8 earthquakes in 8 days. So it must be something, something mad like that. But you know, when things happen in Trinidad, you feel it everywhere else in the southern hemisphere, or you know, because it's out in the ocean there, right?
Yeah.
So still scary, the climate change, the things happening, still hearts going out.
And hope the people in Trinidad, you know, you're staying safe, and you know,
yeah, but also wish them the best still with that flood recovery. Y'all have probably been seeing all of these Instagram posts popping up about, or from friends that you know, about relief. So if you're able to, you know, give back, especially as you're saying with the holiday season, especially coming up, it would definitely
I don't know, that's
ease the blow, right, to kind of get somewhere back up on your feet.
That's a bit hard in my opinion. You know, you just deal with this flooding and now you're telling me multiple earthquakes.
But I think that's just the nature of
kind
of where we are.
You also saw this black girl on Instagram who is this young lady who's claiming that she's not black, she's white.
What was that on Dr. Phil?
It was on Dr. Phil. And
where does Dr. Phil find these people?
Hold on. And black people are beneath her, right? They are at a lower level. We're not on the same level as her, apparently. So,
for those of you that don't know, she's
transracial, apparently.
It's a black woman claiming that she is transracial.
She's not a black woman, she's a black child. She's not a woman, she's a child.
How old is she, 15?
Yeah. Like, she's a teenager, nonetheless. Her mother is confused as to where she's getting this from, because her mother is like, yo, like, I'm black, she's black. Granted, I think her father may be white. But nonetheless, apparently she used to cut the, because her mom used to buy, you know, the black Barbie dolls. And apparently she should cut the heads off the dolls
because
she denied the way the doll's hair would.
Wow.
All that. So,
Well, I mean, let us know. Do y'all think transracialness is a thing that you one race, but you think you're another? So, Vernon, you're a white man.
I'm a 34-year-old white man. I'm a systems engineer at Coca-Cola.
Why does that sound like some identity theft shit?
Bro, that was on Atlanta, right?
Oh, yes!
I'll get real specific.
What's the name of the thing again? White
face? Tobias Whiteface.
Tobias Whiteface.
I saw that and I just had to laugh. Well, not laugh, because it's not, when you think about it, it's probably not, it's not really funny. Maybe it's a mental thing. Mm. But I mean, nonetheless, it's like, yo, I was telling someone, I was telling my mom, I think, and this is not necessarily related to the Caribbean, but just being black in the US, I think, like, this is the worst and the best time to be black in the US. It's the worst time because everybody's trying to kill you and whatnot, but it's the best time because everybody want to fight for you being black. And people, they, everybody out here fighting for the black people cause.
Well, now, I mean, your everybody is flawed there because everybody not trying to kill you and fight for the cause, right? Like,
nonetheless, it's the best and the worst time.
But either way, just depending on where you are.
Either way, looking at this girl, it's like, wow, like, boy, that's what we come to now. We have people saying they think they're white and like.
But anyway, she's not the first, eh? And right, she probably won't be the last.
Won't be the last, mm, exactly. Yeah.
There's always a set of them. The Tyra had one once, and they don't associate themselves with being black. And yeah, they don't associate
you know, and you know, black people talk a certain type of way, and I don't speak that way. Yeah. I speak like a white person.
But it still brings up those like sentiments of, why do you think white is better, you know, and like not having that self love and appreciation for who you are.
Like, but what to do?
Episode on its own.
Yeah. I think I don't know. We didn't talk about this on the previous week, but something that has happened was the whole, since you said another episode, it made me think about colorism, which has been the Spice.
I mean, you also saw Spice basically turn to flour, you know, to make a statement. And it was
colorism,
and she made a point because she put out a little write-up after that. She doesn't think her song would have been a hit nonetheless, but she doesn't think it would have had the impact if she didn't do what she did.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I think she is right.
Yeah, it made a point because she was saying before she did that, people were, you know, you black and they're going after her. And then she do that and now they're going after her.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what do you want? Am I too black? Am I too light? It just goes down to, at the end of the day, we just have to love our skin, you know, and love each other and take people as they are and whatnot.
Yep.
So, yeah, well, I mean,
it was very interesting, right? Because a lot of people who like were outraged, and like I even saw people who like usually are for people of lighter complexion, like outraged, like
what's like why is she doing that?
So it was very interesting to see the reaction.
Yeah.
People who thought it was real and they're like, what, why would she do that?
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, but like, that
many
was
people
a
do that every day and people don't question it, but like
but that was a good social experiment.
Yeah. And she carried it off for some time, right? There were multiple pictures that made it seem, you know, as
yeah.
She had it for like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was a good social experiment in my opinion, because it showed a lot of people's true colors.
Mm-hmm. Honey.
But it showed a lot of people's true colors. So well, that's the world we live in, guys.
Yeah. All right. Well, on to this week's episode.
On to this week's
topic. Sorry.
Know. Yeah. Yeah, guys. So this week we're talking about the struggle. Because, believe it or not, us as Caribbean millennials, and millennials on the whole, we experience some kind of struggle in our everyday life, right? Would you say that to Danny?
Yes, you know, I would definitely say that.
Yeah, you know, it's not only the older generation that have struggles. So, yeah. So, Danny, what would you say are some common struggles?
I mean, do we have the time?
Let's make some time, you know? A little bit. Yeah.
I would say one of the most common ones is money. Not enough of it.
Ooh.
And you don't get it often enough.
Yeah, no, you're right. Not enough of it. We don't get it often enough. And not enough ways to make it.
Yep. And even
I
mean, though you
well, no, have... No, not, I won't say not enough ways to make it.
Because there are more ways than there ever more, before but, to yes, make money.
But you find yourself having to do so much, but you make so little.
Well, the question is it based on what you're making or based on what you're spending? Or based on what you need to spend to live a certain way?
Yeah. Currently, our biggest struggle is that our money is not valued as high as for our parents. Yeah. So what we make now, it will not go as far as a comparable salary back 10, 15, 20 years ago. The cost of goods is raising and our salary is not raising to meet with it. So I think that's the primary struggle in that we have to save a lot more and budget a lot more just to make ends meet compared to, you know, when our parents were alive, 25 cents bread, random stuff, you know, like.
I think another thing in that whole equation is the whole student loans thing and the education thing, right? Because if your parents didn't have to, you know, bear that cost for themselves, right? It's a cost millennials these days have to factor in addition to the dollar not going as far as it used to.
It's interesting.
But I think even just like in your 20s, like there's so many life changes, right? And life changes that you have to factor in money for, right? Well, to like move into a new apartment or moving across a country, getting married, going back to school, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but okay, so when I said the whole job thing, part of the reason why I said that is because remember when I said, like, not enough ways to make money?
Uh-huh.
But then I rephrase it in that, like, yeah, there are multiple ways to make money. But what is you finding, like, us as millennials, a lot of us, people having, like, 3, 4, 5 side hustles.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to make enough to, I guess, live comfortably or, I mean, not, you know, like, scraping by, I guess, for lack of better words. But even in terms of, like, the whole job thing, we at a point where I don't think there are enough jobs for us.
Mm.
So that in itself is a struggle because sometimes, you know, you go to school, you get that degree, and you come out here, and for months on end, you're struggling trying to find that job.
I will say, on that front, I think they're not enough jobs that we believe are there for us.
Mm.
Because as soon as we go to school or as soon as we like, you know, leave a job or progress in some way, we think like anything that is not up to that level that we should be making is below us.
Yeah.
So like our parents would like if they needed to go and pick apples, go and pick fruit off a tree, work as a deliverer, work construction, they do whatever they had to do to make ends meet. We will sit down and we'll be like, I didn't get any jobs, but I definitely not going to do this because I have that, so this is below me. I'm not going to do this because I have that because this is below me. So I'm not going to work at KFC because I'm too old for that. I'm too educated for that. Yeah, and though I need to make meds meet and KFC looking for 20 new chefs, I see.
Okay, but here's that. Here, I have a question for you, Dad. You say all of that, but could it be a case of, because I have seen it in that, you go on a job hunt and you see a job that, or job title, you think that you would be suitable for. And then you go and you read the job description. Like, let's say something like a junior engineer or something like that. And you just come from school studying engineering. You get your degree in civil engineering. And say, okay, I can be a junior engineer. I don't have as much experience, but, you know, I can be junior and work my way up to senior. And then you go and you read the job description for junior engineer. And they say they want something like 8 years experience doing the job. And okay, and then at that point, it's like, you tell me 8 years experience is junior? So then, that means at this point, we're forced to take things even lower than what we think we should be taking then.
Now, and some generations may say that, oh, well, we it's that instant gratification or whatever that we want, we and that the entitlement that we expect that, you know, we should have
this. Okay, and yes, normally I would agree with them, but I can guarantee you none of these older generation people can say when they were looking for jobs, the job description was saying that for a junior position, they needed to have 8 years experience. Yeah, yeah. Some of these people get jobs based on the fact that they can just read and write.
Yeah. I think, so, I mean, on that job topic and the struggle of, like, you know, the struggle of jobs and employment and that kind of thing, it's even the process of finding one, right? Yeah. When you're in one, what is that path, right? And I think, be it, okay, is it something that I can move up, you know, what are the politics? Are people acknowledging your talent and your effort? Yeah. Are people trying to use you?
Are you overworked and underpaid?
Exactly. Is it time for me to move on to something else? Right?
Yeah.
I think all of those are common, like, millennial struggles in the workplace.
I think compared to, you know, previous generations, we probably job hop or job switch a lot more. Like previous
generations would work for. But I think there's an expectation for us to do. I don't know if it's us or other people, but we expect that we should be able to do things faster.
I don't know. I want to say it's other people, but I think it's us as well. But then the whole job hopping thing. It could be that we are unsatisfied in the jobs that we are in.
And that's the thing, like, if you're unsatisfied, you're just supposed to stay there. You cannot
just expect to just stay there.
But the thing is, so many people went before and did it, and I think they're jaded about millennials, like, doing that.
Yes,
but,
so
like,
then,
the
so
fact
is
of
it,
the matter is, I not
we have a voice and we're using our voice and we're standing up and demanding
people,
what we want.
And I feel like other people just, like, salty about it.
Yeah, so I don't think it's because when you say this thing about people saying about how we want instant gratification, to some degree, yes, I can see it. But a lot of the times, it's just us speaking up and mm-hmm. saying what we want.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I agree with you.
But I mean, we do, but it's because we are used to it. Like, most of the things we do now kind of lend itself to instant gratification. Like, if you order food, it's here within a certain time. If you want to use the internet, watch a movie, like, it's done within a certain time. Like, everything else in our life is catered to us getting that feeling of, okay, it's done instantly.
Yeah.
Right? If you need to reach out to somebody, you can get so instant messaging.
And I get that, but that's always...
But we often let that carry out into, like, our actual lives. But it's not that it's wrong, it's just that this is how our generation is.
Yeah, and the thing is, okay, yes, we carry it into our lives, but I don't think it's a bad thing. And my reason for saying that is because, to me, you not going for what you want and seeking the gratification, granted, I don't know if instant may be the right way to do it, you know, I believe, you know, you have to work a little and whatnot, but it means you're not settling for less, for mediocrity. You have something, a goal in mind that you're going for. I'm not saying that the other generations were mediocre. Not saying that. I'm just saying we're very vocal about what we want, and we go for it. That's why I stand on that.
Mm.
Yeah. So, another struggle, I think, guys, houses. Like, buying a house, buying a home.
No, just housing in general.
Housing in general, yeah. I think that's... No, you laugh, but that's a show. Because think about it. Our parents were buying land at cents, you know, building a house with a salary that is... I mean, for in their time, it's modest. I mean, if you do a comparable salary now, it's not going as far as it did for them. We can't buy... When people talking about building houses now or buying houses, they're talking about, you know, $250,000 kind of thing. You think your mother had spent $250,000 buying land and building a house how many years ago? It's... And I think... My thing is it that the other generation messed up the housing market for us?
It sounds though like you're just blaming other generations.
No, I'm not blaming. I'm asking. That's what I'm asking. Was it something that the other generation did? Is it something that has happened, like, economy-wise? Like, did banks realize, like, yo, this housing thing, maybe that's a good way for us to make money?
I think,
make it more expensive for them. Like, I try to figure out, like, is just, what is...
Life is just a great big pyramid scheme in general. So the people who come first usually get to set the rules, set the laws. Okay. Like, you know, it's not that they did wrong things, especially in the housing collapse in the US and other places in the world. But it's people stretching the limit on what the system was allowing them to do.
Ooh,
and
then
breaking it. And now we are in a position where the laws and rules are stricter so that we don't break the system
again.
And the rules are stricter and the cost to buy in is stricter. So if, like, your mom and dad 20 years ago wanted to buy a house, the bank would maybe give them 500 grand to build their house, buy the land, and build the house of their dreams back in the day. And they'll tell them, yeah, you have 30 years to pay it. Just like that. Like, you know, just show us two job slips and that. Yeah, and then...
Just bring your two last salary slips in, you're good. Loan is yours.
Exactly. Now you have to do credit check. You have to show your last 20 years of history.
You
of
have
shopping.
To give something as you know.
You have to show your last Massey stores receipt to show what your expenditure is like. You have to show your rent. You have to show your job slip.
You have to have life insurance.
Yeah.
Because if you die, you have to get that money back.
And I am actually in the process of looking to buy property. So I've been going to banks and looking for stuff. Me, as a young person, right, I have to pay 25% of the cost of the project up front, right? As a young person trying to get into something, I have to pay 25% because I don't have as much credit history as my parents. And because of my age, I'm a risk. You know, because I could flee the country and not pay them, the bank, etc. My parents getting a much lower rate. They can do zero down or 10% because they have banking history many years and they have a house, so they have collateral. So the system is really stacked against us, and that is the struggle.
I'm going to say something, and you all will say that's a little grim and whatnot. But when you say they say you are risk and you can up and you can leave, my thing is, somebody older than me is more of a risk than I am, eh? Just for the simple fact that they might die quicker than me.
Wow.
I'm young. No, don't get me wrong. Like, I know it's a bit messed up, but when I hear banks say these things about you are risk, I'm like, you make it seem like I'm a criminal. Like, I go to take the money and just run away.
When the bank not worried about them dying because they already check if that person have life insurance. So, in fact, the bank might even want you to die a little faster. Because
wow.
Then they can just get
them. Just get that life insurance process and finish that.
Exactly.
I mean, you said even just about, like, getting a house and securing that, right? But I think even kind of before you can even get to that point, one of the struggles of being a millennial is figuring out where you even want to live, right? Because you could technically be somewhere for a job, or that's where you finish school or whatever, but you have to kind of grapple with, like, is this where I want to be?
I see myself setting my life
up? Is this where I want to put roots? And if it isn't, but everything else is going well, you know, like, are you kind of, you know, looked at funny if you don't, you know?
Oh, he just blew up a good thing.
Exactly.
Just because he didn't want to be there.
Right.
Or
even, you know, like, there's the thing of, like, people being digital nomads and going, like, all over the place now, right?
Yeah.
That could be a thing that you want to do and not do the whole traditional housing thing. But there's a struggle there in terms of, like, we have so many options. And we can, you know, design our lives in so many different unconventional
and
ways.
And what you're saying there, just showing another struggle that we have, that we're struggling against, I guess,
the traditional ways of
living and the norms.
Yeah, because now people are saying that renting might overall, over the course of your life, cheaper
yes.
than investing in a property and, you know, you having to stick to that property.
I watched a YouTube video on that and it blew my mind because I'm like, I'm 29 and all my life I've been hearing my mother saying, you know, you buy a house, you're going to rent a house, you buy a house. And now you have somebody telling me, somebody who claimed this, they're some financial analyst or money manager, and they're saying they run the numbers and they look at it and in the long run, it might be better for you to rent. And I'm like, but what?
The thing with that is, right?
is if you put the money in something else, that's what it is.
Yeah, exactly. You have to put the money in something else because the whole point of getting the house was to have equity
yes.
and to have
an investment in something.
So you would have to put that money in something else. If you're just renting and just wasting the money that you're saving, then you're really not better off at all.
Yeah, so then hear that. Yeah, go ahead, Danny.
But I'm saying, like, are people trying to condition us to not invest as much?
That's what I was going to ask.
To not get a property, not own a piece of land. Like, let other people do that. Let other people make the money. And you just like, you know, don't be your own boss. Just come and work for me and I'll take care of you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, that's something you also have to consider. Because then everybody, like, 7 people own all the land in your island. And then, like, yeah, you just renting from them or managing the property. Yeah. Even if you own a house, you're just renting the house and the land from them or you're leasing it from them.
Okay. I think two things based off of the struggles we've spoken about for Caribbean millennials, specifically living in the Caribbean, when it comes to the job search, and comes to moving, being a Caribbean millennial in the Caribbean, the job options really are very, very limited.
Very limited.
As compared to what we have. And also, where to live and the job options go. Like, it may be better for you to move to Dominica or Jamaica or whatever, but that's also kind of a tough decision, you know, to make.
Yeah,
to
yeah. Kind move of away from my
uproot
family.
Yourself, yeah. Right? I'm not saying other generations didn't have to make it, but I feel like this is the time of your life where you have to make all of these decisions in like such a short
time. And that's the thing. I think that
also
the
it was,
the time
it was
we
cheaper
have,
and easier.
Yes. But also, I think the period of time by which we have to make this decision, for some reason, I feel like it's shorter
quicker,
for us.
Yeah.
Because our parents could travel on a boat and move to America and, you know, struggle to survive and make it and, you know, do things. Like, if you as a young parent or a young person trying to move to America now, like, there's so many borders, so many cliffs to climb to gain yeah. access.
Well, and as you say that, the other big struggle for Caribbean millennials is the whole topic of immigration. Right?
Yep.
Especially across the world, it feels like there are a lot of countries that are tightening in their immigration reins.
And closing their borders.
Right. Yeah. But at least we'll speak from the perspective of being here in the US. It is a very tricky time to be here and be trying to figure out your like long-term immigration situation, right? Like, you do all the right things, you do everything legally, but, you know,
let me give you an analogy. Immigration in the US is like playing a game of Minesweeper on the computer.
Wow.
That's
wow.
deep.
Yeah. You think you click in the right place, but really you just click in the bomb. And everything
that's
about
deep.
To blow up on you.
That's deep.
Yeah.
That's deep.
Because you see you doing all the right things, like Anushka said, you're filling out the right paperwork, you're talking to the right people, you're going through the right channels, and then it always comes down to a lottery.
Yeah.
And it's expensive. It's expensive. And
a very expensive lottery.
It's expensive and it's
guaranteed.
Not guaranteed.
And it's
yeah.
not guaranteed.
So that kind of makes the price to access very high.
But I get the feeling that some people have the cheat code for the system Well, and they're not sharing it with others because it's a prevailing set of people.
Vernanda Chitkun is money and power and influence.
Well, and that's, I think there are also some easier routes, right? Like the whole marriage thing. But if that's not on the cards for you, right?
Yeah. Then,
fake or otherwise.
Right. Yeah. So
I feel like sometimes my time would be better just, you know, getting extremely buff, growing a very long beard, and then just roaming the beaches of Caribbean islands.
Well, even I think
like a rasta, just waiting for the one.
I think that's
a bald-headed rasta.
Okay.
I think the thing with the whole immigration topic is then, you know, if you are waiting on this or like putting all of this time like towards this path and things don't pan out, then there's all of this kind of stress or anxiety, and then also like doubts of like, had I been doing the right thing? Like, yeah, was I in the right place? Was I chasing the dream?
Yeah. I always have these like kind of, what would I do if I got back the last however many years at this pivotal fork in the road? Like, if I'd gone to Canada instead of the US, if I'd studied this instead of that, like, you know, stuff like that, you just think about and be like, well, where would I be now? But I mean, so far it's not so bad. So, hey, you know, I'll take it. I'll take the good with the bad. Another thing I noticed that a lot of millennials are struggling is education, in terms of, after you've left high school, should you go any further? After you've left community college, like, should you go any further?
You said should you
try to go abroad, or should you stay in your island?
Should Danny, you do you say should normal, you? Can you?
Typical subjects, exactly, can you? Or should you try and pick up a trade or vocational kind of subject?
Because for some people, they better off financially just going and get a job than trying to go off.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you get caught in that,
struggle
of you can only move up so far with the education that
credentials
you have.
That you have. Yes. But then you have to form a plan where you work, but you save your money, which is tough.
And then you have to go and fight the bank for the loan.
Yeah, exactly. You put your money
and
down.
There and there are a
that's
lot
tough to
of...
get if you don't have a loan that can be backed, like with a piece of land or property, which you won't have because you're saving money to go to school.
Yeah.
So you'd have
I know a lot of people going through that experience now of like they did a bachelor's or something like that. They were working, but they've been working for, you know, 4 or 5, you know, however many years, and that is only going to get them so far. So they have to now, you know, be trying to manage their time and money and whatever to get something that will hopefully propel them forward, right? Because you could still get passed up even if you make that investment, right?
I'm going to say something, and y'all, again, it's another grim situation when you think about it. Y'all know it going... Okay, think
grim
about it.
Over.
There was a point where it was just fine if you could read and write, you get the job. Then it was if you had the CXCs. Then if you made it through community college. Then if you have the bachelor's. You're always going to reach a point in time where a master's not going to be enough.
Well, here's the other thing. Let me throw this COE, right? I think the whole education thing is still kind of the path that has been set for us. I think as millennials, we've been exploring all of these alternate paths, alternate things that typically somebody may not see as a income, you know, or traditional income avenue, but it comes to us to take the risk to turn it into something like that. And the thing behind that is passion, right? And finding your passion and finding your purpose is like huge rhetoric and huge like struggle for millennials now too, because you see in all of these people who have gone before and gone through, made mistakes, and they're saying, oh, don't just do it to pay the bills or whatever. Oh, find your passion, find your this, find your that. That's how you make it in life. Like, you find your passion.
What's my passion?
That is BS.
But like,
unless, unless your passion is very much in demand, you're not going to make money off your passion. Like when people tell people that, I'm just like, really? Really?
Danny contradicting you there. What do you have to say?
No. Button? Well, what I was saying is I feel like the traditional roles, like you'll say, oh, go get a degree or whatever, right? You go get a degree in finance, you end up working in the bank, you're miserable or whatever, but you have your, you have an interest in makeup, right? And you say, oh, let me become a makeup artist or whatever, on the side. On the side, you end up making enough money and you're like, okay, maybe this is a thing. You have to take that risk. Right, if that's your passion, you know, if it's aligned with your passion, interest, there's an opportunity there, right? And that could be,
I get what you say,
that could be a whole other, you know, lifestyle and thing that you can charter, you know, for yourself outside of the traditional, but you still kind of have to make those decisions and explore and challenge the norms and like look good while doing all of it, right? And hide that your mental health is like compromised because
hide that you're at home eating ramen every night because you're out here trying for your passion.
Yeah. But I mean, if you have to, you know, if you have to struggle a little bit, you have to struggle, you know, to make it.
Yeah.
But what I don't like to see is when people tell people follow your passion. And then these people just drop everything they have to do, all the responsibilities to follow that passion. So you don't have a job, you're not working a 9-to-5, so then you're struggling. So you have to feed off somebody else to get something done. And then, like, you know, you have to follow your passion, but you have to do it smartly.
So yes,
you have to do it in a plan. You can't just, like, what is my passion? I'm going to follow it. And, you know, I'm going to try and do this until the day I die, even though it's not working out in the current form. But, you know, you have to believe in yourself, but you also have to know that the world is a harsh place. So
You have to be realistic.
Right?
You have to be realistic.
And if you... another thing is a lot of people... School is not... Like, your school is not for you. Stop letting people tell you, go to university. Stop letting people tell you, go to university. Get a loan to go to university. To
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Like, you're just going and... become an accountant because you hate at making money. Just go and become a lawyer because you hear people in that business making some money.
Not only because you hear or you feel that that's what you should be. I get what you say. There are some people, I'm not dissing anybody, because there are some people that maybe your thing is you were meant to be a tattoo artist. You don't have to go to school for that. Or your thing is you were meant to be a carpenter or something. Like, you have to recognize where something is for you and it's not for you, and don't force it and put yourself under that financial burden.
Let me make a controversial statement.
I'm not
letting any child of mine go to school to search a subject they can learn on YouTube. So you're not going there to learn art. You're not going there to learn philosophy. You're not going there to learn anything that cannot... That can be taught on YouTube or via $50 online course.
But like, Adani, you're
not wasting that money to do that.
By the time you have children, what won't be able to be
online
taught that way?
You're saying I'm not going to have children in the next 5 years? Like,
no, but I'm saying it's already moving like that.
Yeah, that's the thing.
So There's so many things you can learn and teach yourself online.
No, but I get what he's saying.
What I'm saying is you can teach yourself something online
at a reduced rate,
right?
Yeah.
But I'm not paying for you to go to school. Like, I'm not paying for you to get a loan, because if you do an online program with, like, your university, you still have to pay university prices, even though you do it online. But there are things that you can learn organically by yourself through YouTube and other websites how to do that you don't necessarily need a degree to. You don't necessarily need to go to a four-year college or university to do. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying. I'm not paying for you to do a subject that you could just do online, like, you know, just go to a school for 4 years to learn how to Photoshop. Like, that's things you can do online. And that's something that wouldn't necessarily require a degree. It would more require a portfolio of the work that you have.
Okay. Yes.
So instead of, like, either I will send you to school to do the traditional things like accountant, doctor, engineer, or and then you get to do your side, your minor in philosophy. You can minor in art. You can minor in subterranean jazz.
Subterranean
the hell?
So you can. That's when people play jazz underground.
I like in the subway.
I agree with you to some extent. I don't know if I'll be that far.
If
I'm paying
for that, you have to do what I say. If I'm paying, if you want to go and pay your own money, go and do it. But nah. If I'm paying,
but Adani, you go and wait for it. That's not even you. That's not even our millennial today struggle, though.
No. They're millennial parents.
I see what you're saying. But I don't know if I would be that parent that would tell my child, like, I pay and you have to do the regular stuff. Like,
no, because that's what has been done.
I think I would be within reason, you know, go and figure out what you want to do. But don't come and tell me you're doing, I don't even know. Don't come and tell me you're doing English.
I predict soon there will be classes at school for how to be a YouTube influencer.
Oh, yeah. You predict. They have them already.
Oh, you see, exactly.
They have them already.
Like, all I'm saying is, if you, my child, or any, I'm sure many millennial parents feel that way. I'm not paying for it. Like, the world is too hard. I'm not going to let you do yourself that. Like, right? Yeah. Like, I'm going to at least give you a solid foundation.
Now, that's what I understand, because you're right. The world is too hard.
If you want to do your Photoshop and your YouTubing, work as an accountant for now. When you make your money as an accountant, you can take your YouTube course, your online course, your school course. You can pay for it yourself. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to give you that good start so you can do these things in the future. Or I'm going to recommend that you don't even go to university. Get a trade. Become a plumber, carpenter, electrician. You know, any of these things that take a lot less time, a lot less cheaper to gain entry to. And you will probably make as much money as some jobs that people... like
entry
right
level,
but I think even like
more than entry level.
I think what you're saying and what you're proposing still boils down to the fact of not having the time or being like pressed for feeling like you pressed for time, because you're saying you're advising to not go off and just do this this thing that you want to do. You're saying maintain whatever that pays the bills, and even if I could spend 40 hours, you know, a week on the thing I actually want to do and build it faster, spend 40 hours a week doing the thing that pays the bills, and then spend whatever extra time, if you really want it, to build a thing that you actually want to do.
That is the next
struggle. That's how some of the greatest have done it. Like with the 9-to-5. Like, I mean,
but I can't.
Yeah, but hold on. But stop. But it's no longer a 9-to-5. That's exactly the thing. People are having to work 9-to-7, 9-to-9.
Nobody. So you work a little harder and then you get it right. But you don't like you like.
But I what I'm saying is, I don't think
our
it's
generation
linear.
Going to you don't think it's what easier?
I don't think it's linear, and I think there are multiple people who have done multiple things in multiple ways.
I think
ways,
right? I hear what you're saying.
It's not linear, but I'm just saying this. We're approaching that time where you have to do this. Like you can get lucky, but majority of people will not be able to just leave whatever they're doing.
Okay,
go and dive into your passion and make it big, like within a month. Like, you know, it's not going to happen, right?
And that is where I feel we have gone wrong as a society. If we are getting to this point where you have to do what we just said, because my thing is, listen to what I'm saying here. You telling me now that after I go to work from 9 to 8, because now when the boss hire you and tell you the job is 9 to 5, really and truly, he expects you to stay there till 8 o'clock still working, unless he hire you as a big executive, which first of all, he never going to hire you as a big executive right off the bat. You will never get that right off the bat. You have to work your way up there. So until you become the big executive, you're working 9 to 8 in the night, and then you're telling me I have to come home, try and make dinner and feed myself and maybe my family, and then try and work on my passion and still find time to sleep, get enough sleep to wake up to go to work and not be tired at work. That's unfair. That in itself is a struggle now, because then now we have to be juggling time that we don't have. And I feel like back then, before, we could have, people could have done that. I don't think we can do that now, and I don't think we're going in the right direction if it's going to only get worse. I think it needs to get better.
It's only going to get worse because now jobs have been replaced by robots. So the few jobs that we do have, like, they're going to be harder to get now because you're going to have to be in some kind of industry that cannot be just artificially taken over by another, like, a machine, right? Like, people are losing jobs. Just factory, especially factory jobs, things that have to do with making stuff, like things that you could get without a degree before. Like, they're approaching the time where people are getting replaced by robots and machinery and programs. So, like, you have to make yourself relevant. And I'm not saying 9 to 8 going to be easy. I'm not saying you're going to love it. But, like, you know, the other option is what? Not to work 9 to 8 and just work on your passion?
I believe there's another way to make yourself relevant without working 9 to 8. There have to be other ways to make yourself relevant without having to work 9 to 8.
There are. The beauty of this now is there are a lot of ways to make money that are non-traditional. But you still need money to make money. Like, if you're going to be a YouTuber, you still need to buy a camera. Like, if you're going to be a gamer, you still need to get a gaming computer, right? You still need money to get into those things that
you need money to make money.
So, you know, it's not like before where, you know, like, if you're going to be a farmer, you still need a piece of land. You know, you need to buy seeds, you need to buy a hoe, a shovel.
What a world we live in, eh? The sugar mess.
These things getting more and more expensive, like, you know, and I think a lot of people go to university with the hope that it will improve their life, but they just get into debt because they get a degree that, after you finish the 4 years, it's not as in demand as when you applied to go to school in the first place. So we really need to start looking at trades. Like, the plumbers, the electricians, these people, like, they have a constant stream of work. Oftentimes, like, they can't get enough work. Like, people who fix AC in Florida, like, during the summer, like, your phone must be ringing off the hook. Like, you know, like, and, you know, maybe that's an easier route to take than to go to school and study political science and then try to be one of the millions of interns that try and get into the UN, like, you know, or, you know, like, I'm just saying, there's
another crushing dreams. Eh?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm letting Adani have his opinion.
This is a real crushing dreams.
In either case, I feel like whatever the path, whatever the way you try and Lego your life, right? I think we try and unbalance so much.
That's trying
to do better than the generation before us. The bar has kind of been set, you know.
They expect more from us, but they have the same number of hours.
But we also expect more from ourselves. And I think even trying to find that balance and achieve in the lens of social media, right? Like, that perception versus reality situation and your mental health, I feel, which is something we talk about, you know, but I feel like another struggle is a lot of us, our mental health is compromised, right? Yeah. Like, in trying and do so much or living up to certain expectations and all of that, right? I think now people are more aware of depression and anxiety and seeking help and, like, it being more normalized, but still going through those things is difficult, let alone going through it but feeling like you need to portray to society and through social media that, oh, things are perfect, I'm hustling and, you know, doing yoga and eating at the top restaurants every weekend and traveling to Dubai and, oh, things are great.
Yeah, it's okay, you know, for things to not be great.
Like, I feel that's another struggle, just kind of being authentic and owning that we don't have it all together, figured out.
Yeah.
Right?
Because, let me tell you that, our parents didn't have it all figured out, eh? Mm-mm.
Nope.
And it was no problem for them. So that's why I don't understand why are we making it a problem for us.
They just had, I guess, more tries at the pie sometimes. Just because entry was easier, rules were less stringent. So they had some things working for them.
I'm not even looking at all of that. I'm just looking at it from the standpoint of our parents didn't have it together, and everybody knew that nobody had it together, and nobody made a fuss about it. But for some reason, we at a point where we making a fuss that, hey, that person don't have it together, let me make fun of them, or let me look down on their life. And I don't think that's what we should be doing. Because nobody ever really and truly has it together.
Right, but I think people's lives are more public now than they were back then. Because
we need to stop putting our shit out there. All right, you don't have your shit together. Stop putting it out there.
Well, and
if you can't take a joke, can't take the plot. Just
look but it out. I think the other thing is just seeing what other people are doing. Some people start holding themselves to those people's standards without knowing
what
those people's struggles. Right.
Yes.
So they seen these YouTubers with hundreds of thousands of followers, and they seen their little channel there with, you know, barely 50 to 100 subscribers, but they don't know the grind and, you know, the grind, work.
Sometimes some of them will buy them subscribers.
Exactly, right? Or they're not seeing all the resources that person has compared to
exactly.
them.
Exactly.
So, like, for instance, even, like, with this podcast that we started, you know, it could be easy for me to look at other podcasts and be like, oh, my God, look at how awesome they are. Like, look at all of the
things.
Yeah,
but they're doing it longer than
some exactly. of them. So, you know what I do? I go and I listen to podcasts from episode one. And I compare our episode one to their episode one. And I'm like, okay, like, if this person is like a big deal now and this is where they started, I can feel positive about where I am. Or like, okay, we are at a good spot because, you know, I remember this podcast, I think it's discontinued now, but his episode one, the music was by like his brother or something like that. It was, you could tell it was like a garage operation type thing.
Maturity.
And, you know, it's kind of like flipping that perspective and trying to uncover the truth versus like comparing yourself to the Joneses when you're not, right?
Yeah.
It's tough, but, you know, we can do it. I mean, the next generation, it might be harder, it might be easier.
Boy.
Who knows? Based on what we do in this generation. So.
It really might be harder.
So, guys.
What about relationships?
I think we don't even want to. All right. So, what do you want to do on relationships?
Boy, I feel like that's a struggle in itself there because relationships, the way they form now, it's not how they used to form before. It's not what was organic back then is now alien now. Everybody is on an app.
Oh, okay.
Social media. I see somebody, I like the picture, I slide in their DMs, and then we meet up.
You have to like it several times.
Yeah. I go back, I see a picture, I go to the profile, I look, I like an old picture, then I like some current ones, and then I slide in the DMs. Whereas before it was, I see you at a party, maybe I buy a drink for you, or I introduce myself, and then we go on a couple of dates, like I say, hey, they have another party there, let's go there, and we take it from there. It's totally different. And I think it's a struggle in that now you don't know if the person you meet on social media is who you're going to meet in real life.
Yeah.
You don't know if you're getting what you bargain for. So that's a struggle there. And then that forms trust issues.
I think some of the biggest struggles with relationships now are one, the online dating thing and even finding somebody, because while someone may say, oh, realistically, like, you have like all of these options, people are also trying to work on their career and all of these other things, and the finding time for a relationship or even looking for a relationship process is like sometimes maybe even seen more as a chore or
something to hold you back.
Right. And because it's not that like organic, quote unquote, romantic love, our eyes, you know, met, you know, in the cereal aisle kind of sort of situation, I feel like even the expectation, I feel like even if the time is not being put into like the dating and finding
people, they still expect to get the end results.
Right. And I think because people are hiding behind their phones, they're not necessarily open, as open for that organic thing. Somebody just approached them in a bar, exactly, or that kind of thing.
Yeah, now somebody approach you in a bar, you're more than likely trying to shoo them away. You don't talk to them, you're a creep. Why are you coming to talk to me? All of a sudden, like that kind of thing. So it's strange. But then a thing, an issue, because Danny made a point there that, or was it you, that, you know, because everybody's so busy working on their career and itself that they put that off, then they themselves get pressure from the older generation in that, why haven't you found someone yet?
Yeah.
Why are you putting it off?
Why you don't have a child?
Why you don't have a child yet? This kind of
thing. Why you don't have a house? Why you don't have a family?
Yeah. So it's really is a struggle. And it's a strange one. I never thought that's something that was that you think would make this easier, this process easier of missing people. Because you would think social media missing, it makes it a bit easier. But I feel like it's made it more complicated, more complex.
Well, I think it's giving you, like we spoke about before, we give you more options, but less quality.
Yeah, because then you meet people and you don't know what their true intentions are. Mm-hmm. You don't know if they're genuine. And you may see a fellow on Instagram and he next to a Porsche and you know, well, members and then he show up and he's like, oh, that was my friend Porsche. I was taking a picture. I took the bus
here. And because getting a date can be so easy, swipe, you know.
Oh, people take it for granted.
Yes. They're not giving
people a chance
or their best effort or being extra judgmental and that kind of
thing. It's like, I meet you immediately, don't tick all the boxes I want. Forget you, I'll find somebody else kind of thing.
Right.
So, it's a...
The struggle!
Boy, we really on a struggle bus, eh? In our generation.
Yeah, but, I mean, we can do it, man. We just have to have faith.
You say you have faith, I think we need a lot more than faith, eh?
After Danny crush everybody.
Boy, yeah, Danny crush everybody dreams.
The podcast, that tell people, should just go and be electricians, you know?
There is a... Oi. I think people underestimate how much electricians make. That's why you smile. That's why you be.
No, I don't. I'm not doubting it, but you know,
electricians and plumbers.
You know, we looking at new forms of making money when we can
one,
we can go back to
we
the
can old go back form. To the old forms.
They're not dead as yet. Like in a few years, there will be so many doctors, engineers. You know, YouTubers,
lawyers, gamers.
But who going to fix their AC? Who going to fix their plumbing? Who going to fix their electricity?
Who rent the wires for them to rent their computer?
Like, you know, we trying to reinvent the wheel, but they already have four wheels on the vehicle. Boy. Yes, you can add a spare.
Deep. Let's just pause on that one.
Wow. I hit only for a Minesweeper analogy and Danny covered it as day something even. So hear that, guys, because this is a recurring theme I'm seeing here. We said it on our climate change episode of maybe we need to go back to the old ways. Is that what is that we really need? Maybe that we need to go back to the old ways? Or maybe go 100% back to it, but go back to
Don't forget the old ways.
Yeah.
But incorporate the new ways as well.
Yeah.
Or if you're using the new ways, incorporate the old ways.
Right.
Yeah, and just use both best of both worlds.
I think the other thing is, and y'all may agree or disagree, is I feel like we're in a point of life where the struggle never ends. It's just a way of how we manage the struggle.
Yeah, the struggle evolves. It's a new struggle every day.
Perceive the struggles, right?
Yeah. So,
do your self-care. Make sure your mind is right, your body is right.
Yes, check on your friends. Check on yourself.
Check on your friend, check on yourself.
Yeah, because a lot of people check on their friends and they never check on themselves.
Check on themselves, it's very true.
Don't be afraid to tell people no, but don't be afraid to go out, have fun, you know, take a breather. Even though it's a weekend, you drive to an Airbnb somewhere, take some time off from the rat race.
You're giving all the things. My main thing is don't be afraid to let people know you're struggling.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you have to go and cry and tell everybody what your problem is, but you don't always have to put on that brave face, like, and you know, you're on Instagram, you're doing it for the gram. You don't always have to be showing out. Maybe just show the people you're cooling out at your home on your couch like a regular human being.
And regular.
Yeah. Vernon, I'm struggling.
Yo, I'm struggling. Sleep. Guys, I'm struggling not to kill Anushka.
Sleep.
There you have
he
it.
He loves me.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's been an episode, guys.
Let us know you think. Let us know what your struggles are.
Let us know what your struggles are.
Y'all are here for us. Y'all are here for us every week.
We want to be here for you.
Let us be there for you.
Yeah.
Again, we are open to have an advice column if you want to send in those struggles to us weekly.
Yeah. We'll give you our take on it, our advice. You don't have to take it. Listen to it. Get another view on the matter. But let us know, guys.
Talk to us. A struggle you shouldn't have is heading over to our merch store and getting some merch.
That should not be a struggle. That
shouldn't be a struggle. Yeah, at all. Doesn't sound like a struggle.
No, does not at all.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's been another episode. We'll see you guys next week.
Till next week.
Till next week.
Bye.
Bye.